The future may not be clear, but our commitment is. So when you sit with an advisor at Merrill Lynch, we'll put your interests first. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member, SIPC.
How your smartphone can help you save money.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Many of us use the apps on our smartphones as an opportunity to throw all caution to the wind and spend like fools. But recent experiments have used mobile apps to help people save more money, pay down debt, and to stick to budgets. Here to talk about these behavioral experiments and how to replicate some of the results in our own lives is Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson. First, Ann, these experiments were done at Duke University by a behavioral economist?
That's right. Behavioral economist Dan Ariely. He's a best-selling author, so people may recognize his name. He works at Duke University, and he's got a laboratory there called Common Sense Lab. It's fairly new, and it's dedicated to helping people find ways to save money.
These experiments involve people who were enrolled in what you call behavioral interventions, and they apparently were successful.
Exactly. Well, they ran a series of experiments, more than a dozen, and some of the experiments maybe weren't so successful, but the ones that were, they published in an annual report, and you can see the results of those experiments, and more importantly, you can adapt some of the techniques to your own life.
And you came up with some tips on how to transfer the results into one's own life, and you list them here. The first one is that you should round up when budgeting.
Right. So rounding up is an interesting concept because it kind of accomplishes two different goals. The first one is that people really hate to budget. It's just a painful, tedious exercise, and it's sort of punitive. The upshot of it is, no, you cannot spend money. So people really avoid it at all costs. One thing that can make it easier, though, is to round up. So, for example, if you have a mortgage that's, a sort of an odd number, like the number I use in the story is $1,024.71. I mean, it's really not an easy thing to kind of add up with the other numbers in your budget in your head. So the technique that they use is to encourage people to round up. So you'd take that number, $1,024, and you'd round up to, $1,050. And so you have this sort of rounder number in your head. It just makes it easier if you do that with all of your different, regular expenses to add everything in your head and hold it in your head. Secondly, though, if you actually, program your financial life to pay off the number that you've rounded up, yeah, you're going to pay down your debt early. And so even though it might just be an extra $25 a month, it can make a big difference. The number that they showed for a 30-year mortgage, paying off an extra $25 a month at an average mortgage of $300,000, you're going to be paying that off a year early, and you're going to save over $7,000 in interest.
The second one out of four that you have here, this is probably the most important one, stick to a weekly budget, not monthly.
Yeah, so I think when people do budget, it's always on a monthly basis. And what they found is that it's easier for people to think about the trade-offs if they think in a weekly amount. So what you do is you give yourself a monthly budget, you divide by four, and you come up with a weekly number. They did an experiment on food stamp recipients. The average food stamp recipient will receive $250 a month. And so what they did was they had one group think in terms of $250 a month. The other group was told to think in terms of a weekly budget, which comes out to a little over 60 a week. And so what they found is that the people who had to think in terms of their budget as a $60 a week spending target, for those people, they would go into the supermarket and they'd spend if they were to spend $20, they would realize, oh, that's a third of my weekly budget, so that there was more of an understanding that $20 is actually a significant portion of that budget in comparison to spending $20 when you're thinking in terms of $250 a month. Yeah. That seems like nothing. So it's just by thinking in shorter time frames, we're able to more concretely understand the impact of what we're doing.
And again, this arose out of experiments where people used mobile apps to help them save money.
Exactly. And in that case, there was a mobile app that they adapted for use for the food stamp recipients so that the experimental group could track their expenditures on a weekly basis. And what they found was that those people were able to make their benefits last a couple days longer on average.
I'm speaking with Ann Turgeson of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
Today's episode is brought to you by CIT. It's time to get growing with commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services from CIT. CIT works with companies across a wide variety of industries, including transportation, technology, energy, manufacturing, healthcare, and retail. CIT has the expertise and experience to help you grow your business. For more information about how your business can grow with CIT, visit CIT.com. Put knowledge to work.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Anne, we're talking about some tips that Dr. Ariely came up with in these experiments to help us save money with the help of apps. The third one is save windfalls now.
Right. They did an experiment with people who are going to be getting a tax refund. And in February, they approached half of the group and they said, okay, you're going to be getting a tax refund. What percentage of that tax refund are you going to commit to saving? On average, they said 15%. The second group, on the exact day that they got the tax refund, they said, okay, what percent of this tax refund are you going to commit to saving? And the people said 10% on average.
Yeah.
So a 50% higher savings rate.
Sure.
For the people who pledged in advance to save, because when you think about the future, you tend to think about it in more abstract terms, and you sort of imagine your best self emerging. You think, you know, 2 months from now, I'm going to have no trouble losing that 5 pounds I want to lose. I'm going to have no trouble saving that money I want to save, because you're not confronted with those immediate temptations, and you sort of just imagine your best self and your priorities emerging to take the lead. When you're confronted with a windfall in the immediate present, you've probably got a lot of other, you know, things going on that you're thinking you might want to spend the money on.
And finally, Anne, the final tip is use different accounts for different goals.
Right. We all grow up and our parents take us to the bank and you open a savings account and you have this one all-purpose savings account that you put all the money that you aren't immediately spending into. Well, what the research shows is that it's actually so much easier to raid that account for whatever comes up. You say to yourself, oh, you know, I kind of want to get a new skateboard or a new iPhone or whatever. And you sort of think, oh, well, I've got money in that account. I'll just take it. Well, if you were to actually split that savings account up into separate kind of sleeves or envelopes that would each be earmarked for a specific goal. For example, this is for my vacation that I want to take, this one envelope. Another envelope is maybe for the car that I want to buy. So you're saving for very concrete goals. Then all of a sudden, you know, this temptation to buy a flat screen TV, and you say to yourself, okay, am I going to take it from my vacation fund, which means I won't be able to actually go on vacation in March like I had planned. I'll have to wait till April or May. Or am I going to take it from another fund? And when you have to make those trade-offs, the consequences of off-the-cuff spending become clearer.
Yeah.
And it's more likely to cause people to stop and think twice.
Wall Street Journal reporter Anne Turgeson, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.